Mark, you're on the air.
Oh, good morning, Wayne.
Hi, Mark.
Wayne, you've used the term epidemic, and yet...
Well, I'm quoting Mulrooney.
Okay, well, then, with the evidence you supply that marijuana use amongst young people is lower now than it was 15 years ago, it implied that, in fact, there's not an epidemic, that there's a decline in use.
Well, we're talking about drug abuse, though, of all kinds.
Well, then...
And that includes alcohol.
Well, I'm glad you got to that, because now I need to... I want you to define what you mean by drug abuse. I mean, there's drug use, and then, assumably, there's drug abuse. Now, to me, drug abuse would mean if you... abdicate your responsibilities, if you are incapable of working and having relationships and meeting your obligations and responsibilities, I'd say you have, you're involved in drug abuse, if that's the cause of it. But I would say that anybody who uses any kind of drug and does not impose any harm on others or does not impose any obligations on others, that is, emotional strain in relationships, or they don't impose their work values on someone else, like they can't show up for work so other people have to cover, then I would say that this is no business of anybody's. And what I want to know is when people talk about making such drugs illegal and keeping them illegal and death sentences and all sorts of punishable, you know, things like that, what's accomplished by putting a user of a drug in jail? And, you know, I'd like to know that. What do we accomplish by putting them in jail? I mean, where do most of the drugs circulate? Well, usually in prison. You know, we see a lot of violence in prison. We see a lot of rape and violence and degradation. So what are we trying to save people from by putting them in jail for the use of a drug, which, as far as I can see, they may, in fact, enjoy a great deal and harm no one by it?
So we're talking about legalizing pot, hash, oil, that sort of thing.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, if the government's only job is to protect us from violent crime, then the government has no choice but to make it legal. Most of the crime associated with drugs is because a user can't afford it because it is illegal. And therefore, they have to commit crimes like robbery, break and enter, theft, in order to pay for their habit. Mm. Whereas if it were sold at the pharmacist, it would be very cheap, the quality would be very defined, and a user would certainly be no better off personally, but we sure, the rest of us, would all be a lot better off. We wouldn't have our houses being broken into to pay for this habit. We wouldn't have our jails full. We wouldn't have organized crime making billions and funneling it through their other operations, because they're the only people that can have the manpower, the guns, and the traffic, and the network to pay for it all. Like, I resent having to support organized crime. You know, I've used marijuana, I have no problem saying that, and it bothers me that my money is being funneled to organized crime, that I have to be a criminal, too, in order to partake very occasionally in a habit that I believe everybody from the ages of 20 to 40 has participated in. And
well,
when they say
not everybody between the ages of 20 and 40 have participated in it.
I disagree. I must admit, these days, Wayne, I do not meet anybody between the ages of 24 who has not tried a drug of some kind, from marijuana. I must admit, I never see anybody use cocaine and crack, despite all the hysteria associated. I've yet to see anybody come in contact with it. But certainly when it comes to marijuana and its various derivatives, I've not yet encountered anybody in those age groups who have not tried it.
If I open my lines now for people 20 to 40 who have never used marijuana, we would be inundated.
I welcome that response.
I'd like to see
how many people they know. I mean, 20 to 40, I mean, 40 years old today is 20 years old in the Woodstock generation. So we're thinking of people who've gone from 1969 to 1986 and somehow never managed to go to a party that had marijuana, somehow never managed to go to any friend's house for dinner and have a joint afterwards, somehow never managed to go to a rock concert, never managed to buy drugs, never managed to go to high school, never managed to go to university, come on, give me a break. They're lying, is all I can say.
Oh, that's ridiculous. You're taking a whole group of people, the vast majority of whom you probably have never met.
Well, and you're saying that I've never met them.
And you're saying that all of these people between the ages of 20 and 40 have used marijuana. Well, that's patent nonsense, because you haven't met everybody, and neither have I.
Well, then how are you saying it?
All I'm saying is...
Well, why don't we wait for the calls? I got the feeling that everybody who's called up today, who's above 15 to 40, has certainly used marijuana. I got that implicitly from their calls.
Yeah, of our callers on the phone here this morning. All I'm saying is that...
Well, I anticipate then a flood of calls from people who've never used it, have never been curious, have never tried it for experimental purposes, have never gone to anybody's house and been offered it. I mean, I'm waiting for all this, Wayne.
What I'm saying
the
is...
The secondary. We're getting off topic here. I apologize if I slandered members of your audience who by some freak of nature have yet to encounter a situation where they were offered and tried it.
Let me,
what I'm saying is that legalization is the way to deal with the criminal element here. It's a way to deal with people who have social, who have psychological problems. I mean, you can't treat an addict if he's afraid of coming out of the closet because it's illegal and he's going to be put in jail.
Okay, time out. All I'm saying is that there are probably many, many people between the ages of 20 and 40 that have used this drug.
All right. Well, I regret saying this because we're getting away from the central point here.
But that's because you overgeneralize and you clump everybody into one basket. They all do it. And I'm saying that's just not rational, nor is it intellectually honest to say that.
All right. I will recant. I will say that there, in fact, probably are some people who have not tried this drug.
So you'll have to wear sackcloth and ashes around.
That's right. You know, I'm going to miss you, Wayne. When you're in Ottawa.
Well, I'm going to miss you, too.
Yeah.
I'll call you from Ottawa when we do shows because you have an opinion on everything. And
that's right.
And that's fine.
And I'm going to miss your constant writing me about how I have an answer for everything. I really am going to miss that.
Yeah, but you do, Mark, don't you?
Yeah, I'd like to think that I've thought all these subjects out. I wouldn't call you up if I hadn't.
Okay. So you want to legalize pot, you want to legalize hash, what about cocaine?
That too, which isn't to say I condone the use of any of this
type of
substance. There are many things that I think are legal now that I certainly don't participate in and don't believe are good for one's personal health. But when it comes to the area of law, the law is there to protect us against the harm from others, not from the harm of ourselves. And if we're there to advocate the government protect us from harm, we have to say, well, what is the purpose being solved in making drug use criminal? Like I say, it feeds organized crime. It builds up a network of gun-toting traffickers who, because the money involved is so tremendous, have a great deal to protect because they're outside the area of legal commerce. We've got users who, when they become addicted, can't afford it because it's not on the legal market. They have to resort to crime to pay for this habit. If it were in the pharmacist, they could walk down, buy a supply, do whatever it is they do, and leave everybody else alone. And I think that's what we should be concerned with.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye.